So Rav Bosai, the last line on Daf Kuf Aleph Amid Beis, or line and a half, I'll say, that's where we were holding. And the Gemara wants to know that according to Rava, if you recall the last thing we discussed, Rava said that with regard to Eitzim, there's no Kedushas Shvius. And the reason for that is that in the case of Eitzim, we don't have a fulfillment of the rule of Hana'asam Ubiuram Shaveh. Because in the case of Eitzim, you may remember that first he burns the wood, and then the wood obviously is consumed. And then, after the wood is consumed by the fire, it turns into charcoal, and that's the source of heat. So it's only after the biur, right, after the consumption of the wood, that's when the hanah comes. So if the hanah comes after the biur, then there's no shvius, no kedushas shvius. And in the case of Minei Tzovim, that's what we're gonna have to see about that. There, apparently, it is called Hana'asam Ubiuram Shaveh. So, if you recall, here on Daf Kuf Aleph Amid Beis, just by way of review, the Gemara Rava quotes a Mishnah in Arla that says that Beged Shetzavo Beklipe Arla Yidolek. And the Gemara thought in the Hava Mina that means that Klipe Arla are considered chazusa milsa, meaning that the arla is now in the beged, and the Gemara rejects that. And the Gemara says, no, I can always hold that chazusa lav milsa. And the reason why you have this din of yidolek is similar to the case of dam min ames shenivla bekarka bayis. And in that case, what we have here is that if you can remove the dam through some process, and the dam can be removed from the beged, then there's tumah. Now, it means that the chazus itself, in and of itself, if let's say you could not remove the dam from the beged, that's it's balu in the beged, then it would not be tumah. So we assume that chazusa lav milsa. So let's just see if we can juggle these two halachos. Why is it that in the case of dam shenivla, we assume that chazusa lav milsa, whereas in the case of klipe arla that were dyed by arla yidolek, it means chazusa milsa? And the Gemara's final answer was that of Rav Kahana, and this is where we stopped, I think, last week. Mikule Revios shanu kam v'dam tvusa d'rabbanon. That Enochinami, had the dam been mitame da'oraisa, which is dam sheyotze liachar misa, then chazusa milsa, the Gemara wants to defend that position. And therefore, even if you cannot remove the dam from the beged, it's as if the revius dam is right there in front of you through the halach of chazusa milsa, and therefore, if someone enters into the oel of this beged, he becomes tomei through tumas mes. However, in the case of dam tfusa, we're not sure. We don't know if the dam came out of the body before the person expired or after he died, and therefore that dam has a special status in which it's only mitami midrabbanon. And here we apply the principle of Heimam Ruve Heimam. The Rabbanan said that if this dam is only mitame midrabbanan, it's not going to be mitame if it's balua inside the bias, inside the kalim of the bias. I'm sorry, inside the not the kalim of the bias. I should say inside the the walls of the house or the ritzpah of the bayis, and that's a special kula of tumah derabanan in the case of dam tfusa, because on a deraisa level we treat it not as dam that's mitame, and only the rabbanan we treat it as dam as mitame, and the rabbanan made a kula that you don't need what. You don't establish it as being matami unless you can remove the dam. Now, I mentioned to you beged shetzava beklipe arla. Let's go back a little bit to which is most relevant to our sugya today. Beged shetzava beklipe shvius. Now, in the case of shvius, what happens is that there is a din of biur with regard to tzvia. Why is there a din of biur with regard to tzvia? So we're going to have to assume l'chora that this is a special pasuk. If you take a look, the Gemara says shani hasam the amar kra tia Bavayasa tia, that there's a separate din in kedushas peiro shvius, that kedusha continues to exist even after you used those peiro shvius as a dye, and a piece of cloth or a beged somehow absorbed the color, the dye of klipe shvius, and in such a case it has a din of shvius, and that's derived from a special pasuk which is called tia bavioso tia. So basically what we have, just a summary, we have both beged shetzvo beklipe arla, and we have the case of beged shetzvo beklipe shvius. In both cases we have a din of sreifa. In the case of Peir Shvius, we have a mitzvah biur that applies midoraisa after the time period that we spoke about last time, kalu l'chayim in asada. If you want, I'll go over that kalu l'chayim in asada as we go through the next sugya, but I won't review it now. And in the case of arla, we also have a separate halacha that beged shetzavo beklipe arla is yidolek. And why is that? And the answer is because if there's a mara of arla, that itself engenders an iser arla, and that's based on the fact that there's an extra pasuk ve'araltem arloso espirio, and the extra pasuk teaches me hanah nira le'nayim. In the case of shvius, it's the hanah that's derived from the pasuk tiyah, and therefore this Kedusha Shvius on Seva. That's what we have as far as Seva is concerned. What about Eitzim? So in the case of Eitzim, then the assumption is, like, let's say for example you'd extract a dye from the bark of the tree that grew during Shvius. That would not constitute Shvius. If it was Arla, it would not constitute Arla. And the reason for that is that Arla and Shvius only apply to Peros and not to Eitzim. So we're now at the bottom of Daf Kuf Aleph Amid Beis. The Gemara asks the following question. Rava Rami. Okay, this is Mamish smack in the middle of the page. Rava Rami. Rava asked Astira from the Mishnah to a Braisa. Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah, this is in the seventh parak of Shvius, that Kedushas HaShvius applies to anything that grows from the ground and can be suitable for eating, whether it's human consumption or whether it's animal consumption or whether you could extract a dye. And then it says Miminat Sovim, anything that can be used for a dye, all the above have Kedushas HaShvius. Now, what about Eitzim? What about the wood itself? And the Mishnah continues, Svichei Sotim Vikotza Yeshlehem Shvis. Now, I'm going to tell you what these are in Lashon Kodesh, and then we'll give an English translation here. Svichei Sotim is called in Lashon Kodesh Karchum, and Kotza is a Min Esav Sha'osim Imenu Tseva. So basically, what we're talking about are types of trees that can be converted into dyes. In English, Svichei Sotim are called safflower, and Kotza is called woad. W-O-A-D. Does he give me any pictures over there?
Here is Sotim.
Okay, so there's a picture here if anybody wants to see a picture of safflower.
Isatus tinctoria.
Okay, so if next time you're in the dyeing business, you want to check into this. So, yesh lahem shvis, and even though they're wood, nevertheless they have the status of kedusha shvis, l'dmeyem shvis, which means that the kedusha shvis is called chlipe shvis, meaning whatever you swap for pairs of shvis becomes kodesh b'kedusha shvis. So let's say if I sell shvius, okay, that's a little bit complicated because you're not allowed to sell shvius. So we have to figure out how you're allowed to sell shvius. But in any event, if you sell shvius, then the damim, the monies that you got as payment, will have kedusha shvius. And here also, in these, now what does the word svichim mean? You know, if you take a look at this Mishnah, it speaks about svichim. He has a long discussion here about the word svichim. But basically, svichin means that you didn't plant it on shvius, you didn't grow it actively, but it grew over shvius. That's called svichin. And how does it grow? Because let's say, for example, when you cut down certain things, that certain kinds of vegetations, they'll regenerate themselves automatically. And that's what happened over here. Let's say on the sixth year, he cut down these tzmachim that grow, and now v'chozim v'tzomchim, and they regenerate themselves. And that which is regenerated is called safiach. Or it could be, this is the Bar Tanura's explanation in the Mishnah there in Shvius, that mashet somech min azera hanofel b'shas k'tzira. What happens is when they harvest the ground, so some of the seeds inevitably fall into the ground, and they grow naturally without human interference, right? It's a chibur b'yidei adam during the year of Shvius. So that's called svichim. And in the case of svichim, because it grew from the karka of Shvius during the seventh year, therefore it has a din of Kedusha Shvius. Again, we have to study carefully what the status of Svichin is, but this Kedusha Shvius now transfers itself over to the Domin if he sells it. Now, again, the question is, how can you sell pairs of Shvius? You're not allowed to sell pairs of Shvius. So he has a long discussion about how you can construct a heter to sell Shvius. I'm not going to get into this now because this is really learning Shvius inside. Maybe we'll get a chance to do it. So the damim of the Svichin is Shvius. And the third halach of Shvius is Yesh Lahem Bir L'dmeim Bir. There's a mitzvah Bir that applies to Shvius, which means that after Kola Chayim and Asodah, we have to be Mavair Shvius, where that means, the way the Ramban understands it, to be Mavayar Min Abayis, or other Rishonim understand it, means that you have to burn it literally. And you have to get rid of not only the Shvius itself, but the Domim of Shvius, which in this case is the Domim of Svichim, that have the same status as the Svichim. And this is all based on a Sugya Masecht Psachim, on Daf Nun Beis. The pasuk in the parash of Shvius at the end of Vayikra says, "Ulu behemtecha ulachaya asher biartzecha tia kol tvua tvus alechol." That pair of Shvius, you're not allowed to eat them, and as long as there's the min of the karka of that specific min matzli lechaya l'sodeh, then you don't do beer. But as soon as you get to the point in which kalu l'chayim and asad, when that min is no longer available in the fields, I mean to the animals in the fields, at that point you are chayiv in biur. Kishakolab min zeh l'chayil ubasada osur lechol me'osan shebebayis. So you have a residue of that min of shvius in your house, and at what point are you no longer allowed to eat that shvius from the point of kol l'chayim in asada? And the question that we want to ask is that in the case of Mine Tsovim, which is our discussion here about Kotza and Svichei Satim, why is it that this is considered Kadosh B'Kedusha Shvius? We need Hana Asam Ubiuram Shave. Now the biur here is going to be when you make it into a dye, and the Hana is going to be later on when you dye the Beged. So this should not be subject to Kedusha Shvius. So I have here in the footnote a chiddush from the Mikdash David. The Mikdash David, who lived about a century ago, is the biggest lamdin on Zroim and Taros. I'm not sure if he's the biggest, but he's certainly up there in the big. So he claims that when do you need Hana Asam Ubiurim Shavin? That's only by something that's Roy Lachila. But something like a Mine Tsovim, which are used for dyes and not for they're not edible, Sheino Ruyim Lachila, he says in such a case, the mitzvah is to benefit from these shvias, from these the shvias, even though the hana will take place down the line, way after the Zman Habir. So again, let's just summarize. If it's a Dover Roy Lachila, then you need Hana Asum Birim Shava. But in the case of Mine Tsovim, which is not a Dover Roy Lachila, there you don't require Hana Asum Ubiram Shava. So as I said last time, when it comes to Shvius, the key concept is called the Nitan. Nitan means that every single species is given, is singled out for a particular Hana, for a particular benefit. And in the cases of Svichei Satim and Kotza, the nitan is to use it as a dye to extract a tseva from these wodes and these safflars. Alma says the Gemara, this is Rava's diuk, Eitzim yesh b'hem mishum kedusha shvius. I mean, these kinds of mine tsovim are all barks of trees or grass, they're not peros. So we see that svichim, and presumably shvius in general, applies even to something that's not more than an eitz. I mean, it's not a pri, it's an eitz. Uramini, but I have a brisa that says just the opposite. This brisa is in Sukkah. Olei kanim. Kanim are reeds, and specifically cane reeds. Olim, of course, are the leaves. The alig funim in the leaf, and also the leaves of a gefen, of a vine. Shegivavon means he gathered them up, bechava, and he put them into storage, into some sort of an otzar. Al pnei asoda, so he gathers them up from the field. And his interest now is to keep them in storage and only use them months down the line during the winter months, because he hasn't decided yet what he's going to do with these cane reeds or these vines. They have two possible purposes. They can be used as firewood, that's called asoka, or they could be used lachila, they're edible. And the din here is, according to this brisa, if you want to know whether there's kedusha shvius on these alei kanim and alei gfanim, the answer is it all depends on your mindset and your intention at the time of harvesting. Liktam lachila, if you harvested these cane reeds for eating purposes, is yesh ba mishum kedusha shvius. Then these kanim and alei gfanim have kedusha shvius, like any other fruits, because they're omdim lachila. But if his intention was le'etzim, to use it for firewood, ein bayam kedusha shvius. You see clearly that when it comes to etzim, there's no kedusha shvius. Again, if you can designate this not as etzim for firewood, but as something that's edible, then nicha, then it has kedusha shvius.
Why does it depend on his?
His das?
His das. Why doesn't it depend on what you actually use them for at the end of the day?
It seems that the critical moment in determining Kedusha Shvius is the moment of Lakita.
And if you don't know, if it's Talua.
That's a stira from the Resha to the Sefer. The one who spends a lot of time on that is Rabbi Kivega. Because Rabbi Kivega says that from the Resha you get the impression that you need Lachtam Lachila. And if it's not Lachtam Lachil and you have nothing in mind at that point, you're undecided, then it would not have Kedusha Shvius. But the Sefer says, La'etzim ein bayam Kedusha Shvius, which is the exact opposite. That gives you a conclusion that if he had an empty head, and he didn't have anything in his mind, one way or the other, it would have Kedusha Shvius. So I don't remember what his answer was. If we get a chance, we'll get an answer. But in any event, Lakita seems to be the critical moment that engenders the Kedusha of Shvius. In fact, I once heard from my Rebbe that he was talking about Peah. I'm not sure if he applied it to Shvius. That I don't remember. It's many years ago. That Lakita, that Ketzira determines and engenders the shame Peah.
So you could actually have it in mind when you're cutting all this down to use it for wood, and that would be fine. And then 2 months later, you can change your mind,
correct,
eat it, and there's no problem.
Correct, because it doesn't have Kedusha Shvius. So now let's just summarize. We have a stira here. Why? The Mishnah says that the Sfichei Satim and the Kotza, which are trees, and they could be used to make a dye, have Kedusha Shvius. They have Kedusha Shvius, they're Domim, they have beer, and so forth and so on. Whereas the Brisa assumes that if you have these things, which if you thought about them for designated for Hasaka for fuel, then since they're Eitzim, they don't have Kedusha Shvius. But if there's no Kedusha Shvius in Eitzim, then why is Kotza and Satin sanctified with Kedusha Shvius? Umeshani, and Rava gave the following answer. There is no principle that you accuse me of, that only peros that are ready for achila are sanctified in Kedusha Shvius. There's a different klal. It doesn't depend upon peros versus eitzim, but rather omar kra li achla. When the Torah says in Vayikra Chaf Hey, Vayisa Shabbos Haaretz Lachem Li Achla, we'll get back to the word Lachem in just a minute, but Li Achla, what does that word Li Achla indicate? What is unique about Achila? And the answer is, says Rava, Misha Hanaso Ubiuro Shavin. Correct? As soon as you eat the food and you consume it, you enjoy its benefit. So let's say you have something that grows from the karka, and you want to know whether or not it is sanctified, it has Kedusha Shvius. So it all depends upon whether it's similar to Achila. If it has Hanasu Birim Shaveh, then it's similar to Achila. Yatsu Eitzim Shana'asam Achar Birim. But in the case of Eitzim, again, we're talking about Eitzim now that are designated for what? For firewood, for asaka. Then, since the Hanah is going to take place later, it's postponed beyond the Biur. The Biur takes place first, and the Hanah takes place later. Right?
What do you mean it takes place later? When you burn the wood, you get Hanah.
Well, I don't know. There may be situations where that's true, but the Gemara is talking about the classic situation where he burns the wood, and then he creates what's called Gecholim, coals. And then he heats up what he has to heat up on top of the Gecholim. Maybe because the Gecholim can retain the heat longer, or maybe because the wood, as it goes up in smoke, you know...
It's not burning the wood in order to get heat from the wood. He's burning the wood to get coals, to use the coals.
And the coals are going to give him the heat that he needs, either for cooking or heating up his house. So since there's a delay between the beer and the Hanah, therefore it's not similar to the paradigm of Achila, and therefore it doesn't have Kiddushas Shvi'is.
But if he used the wood to provide heat, then he would have. Well,
to provide light, let's say. That's going to be the case that we're going to have right now. But before we get to that case, so let's go back now to the original Mishnah of Svichei Satim and Kotza. In those cases, there it's Omed Le Tzvia. So now we're no longer talking about something that is, that comes under this comparison of Liochla. So again, if it comes under Liochla, like for example the peros that come from the trees, which are eaten because it's Hana, Ubiro, Shav, and then it has Kedusha Shvitz. Anything else that grows from the ground and could be or should be designated for Achila, if it's not designated for Achila, but rather it's designated for Hasaka, which means Ein Hanason El Ali Achar Biuro, but not Shaveh, then it doesn't have Kedusha Shvitz. But in the case of Svichei Satim and Kotza, since these are designated not for Achila, but rather for Tzvia, so therefore, based on the Migdash Dover that we spoke about before, that's already a fulfillment of the requirement of Hanasim Birum Shava, or according to him, you don't even need Hanasim Birum Shava. But if you want to say that it's Hanasim Birum Shava, then what you're going to say is, and this also I have the name of some of the Achronim, they want to suggest that you can take these Samamonim, like Satin and Kotza, and throw it into a cauldron that's hot, and what happens is that Miskale HaShoresh V'niklat HaTzeva V'beget. What you can actually do is, as the fire is burning up these Kotza and so forth, at that particular point you throw in a cloth into the cauldron, and the cloth absorbs the tzeva from the Svichei Satim or Kotza, as the Svichei Satim and Kotza are being consumed. So the process of bir and the process of hana is simultaneous. I thought the hana would come later when he wears the beged, but he's saying that the hana, I guess because he can sell the beged already at an appreciated price, at the moment that the beged is kolate the tzev. All right, now we get, Michael, to your question. Va'ika eitzim d'mishkan. Well, what about these kind of trees? These oily trees. Mishkan means oil. Now, these trees have such an abundance of oil in them that we could actually use them as an avuka. And that could give us light. So you just light up this eitz, and it burns and it burns. Maybe that's what they use in the jungles. I don't know. You know, you've seen the Tarzan movies where they walk around with these torches. Maybe they come from Eitzim de Mishkan because the oil burns. Okay, and you don't have to wait till Hanukkah for that. So he says that's called Hana'asan Ubiuram Shavin. Meaning, why, Rava, are you assuming that as a general rule, all Eitzim are out as far as Kedusha Shvi'is is concerned, because they don't have Hanasim Birum Shavim, meaning they're Omed LaHasaka. There are certain specific Eitzim, which are called Eitzim Dimashkan, which are not Omed LaHasaka. They're Omed LaHadlikam, Fadlaka, to create a light. And why don't these trees, the Eitzim Dimashkan, have Kedusha Shvi'is? It seems that Rava overstepped his bounds here in the Gemara's Kasha. He made a general universal statement without exception that Eitzim did not have Kedushas Shvi'is, unless you have something like safflower and wod, which are various types of vegetables that are given for or designated for tseva. But here you have something where you could have Hanoah, not of Hasaka, but these trees can be used for Adlaka. And if they're used for Adlaka, then the very moment that the tree is being consumed by the fire, at that moment you have the benefit of its light. In a classical case of trees, you have to wait till it becomes Gecholim. And therefore it's Ein Hanoason El Yachar Biuron. But here, you don't have to wait till it becomes Gecholim. The fire itself, as it catches on this Eitzei Mishkan, creates a light. Omar Rava, It all depends on stam eitzim. Now this is a little bit of a problem over here, because we just finished saying with regard to alei kanim, you remember those leaves, that it all depends on what he thought at the time of the lakita. Rava is making a whole different statement here on Taf Kuf Beis Amud Aleph. He's saying that forget about what he has in mind. There's no subjective element here, but rather Kedusha Shvius depends upon stam eitzim, meaning what do we generally do with eitzim? And the answer is stam eitzim la soka hein omdim. Again, you may have these unique wormy, woody trees that can be used for combustion to make oil, but most trees are designated for hasaka, la soka ein omdim, and hasaka is ein biurun vanosam shava. And we're not going to tolerate any exceptions to the rule. We're going to basically say that if it's not hanosan biurun shava for most eitzim, then those few eitzim that are few and far between that have this advantage of hanosan biurun shava are going to be swallowed up by the majority. They're completely batel mevutel. There's no separate halachic category for eitzim demashchan, even though it's lavuko lahayer heim omdim, like ladlaka to make a light. And therefore, once these trees, which are called Eitzei Demashchan, grow, they have no Kedusha Shvius. And the reason for that is because Hasaka is Hanos only Achar Biuron. Oh, so what about Sfiche Satim Vekotza? The answer is those are Omdim Le Tzvia. In other words, the very species themselves of Esev, whatever these grow, they are used for Tzviya, to extract a dye. And therefore there's a Chalos Kedusha Shvius on Alei Kanim and Alei Gefanim, if at the time of the Ktzira he had in mind that he wants to use them for Achila. Right, there are those who use them for Achila. They decide they want to eat these leaves, right? They're edible leaves. And there are those who might designate them for a different purpose, right, for Asaka. Everything depends upon the Machsheves Hamalakit. Why does it depend upon the Machsheves Hamalakit? Because with regard to these categories of Sfichei Sitim V'Kotza, there is no Staman LaHasaka. Right? It all depends upon what he has in mind. Omar Rav Kahana questions the very premise of Rava with regard to Eitzim Demashchan. He says, Eitzim LaHasaka. This principle that Rava established, that since most Eitzim are LaHasaka, therefore they have no Kedushas Shvius, Tanoi. Rava said it as if it was a universally accepted statement, but in truth, it's really the subject of a great debate. This sanya we learned in the Braisa, a mosrin peros shvius lola mishra velola kvusa. What's mishra and what's kvusa? These are various types of laundry, of detergent, you know, to wash clothing in. They used to have these pools. One of these pools is called mishra, the other is called kvusa. It seems that mishra is from the language of soaking, right? Shriya is soaking. So they used to take flax, what's called raw natural flax, and it has different kinds of pieces of lint in it that have to be removed, and they used to soak it in something called mishra. Now, this mishra, believe it or not, was made with wine. So you have a pool, and wine was added to the pool. Apparently, the chemical makeup of wine is such that it functions as a detergent. This wine might have come from Shvius, right? Because the grapes are Shvius. And the Braisa says that you cannot take peiros of Shvius, let's say in this case grapes, and use it for a pool a detergent, a laundry pool.
The detergent soaks into the
what's the premise here of this Tanakhama? Again, we'll see Rabbi Yossi is going to disagree. Is there Kedusha Shvius or is it not? Right, Ein Mosrim Peir Shvius LeMishra LeKfusa means that it's endowed with Kedusha Shvius, and therefore you're very limited in what you're allowed to do with Peir Shvius. Right, so you're allowed to eat Peir Shvius. Maybe in certain cases you're allowed to make a juice out of Peir Shvius. Like for example, if you have grapes that were specifically grown to make wine, so the nitan is to extract the liquid element in the grape rather than eat the grape whole. That's the nitan, and then the Kedusha Shvius expresses itself in yayin. But although yayin could have another function entirely, it's not being used as a drink, but it's used as a laundry detergent, that you cannot do, because then you're violating the Kedushas nitan. But the premise here of the Tanakhama and the Braisa, which is most fundamental for us, is that there is Kedusha Shvius in something which is designated for what? For Achila. Even though now you decided that you're not using it for Achila. So why don't we say the following? This is Rav Kahana's question. According to what Rava was saying, you know, if you have something that, like Svichei Sitin and Kutza, that could be used either as an edible or for Tzviya purposes, then it all depends upon your Machshava. Well, if that be the case, then in the case of Yayin, if his Machshava was, again, theoretically, if his Machshava was at the time of Ktsira that he wants to use it as Yayin Shel Mishra or Shel Kvusa, then that itself would be mafkia the Kedusha Shvius. And then, if there's no Kedusha Shvius because it's not designated as an ochel, but rather as kibus, no, in that case, then why can't you use it for whatever you want to use it? That wine is like wine of shishis. It doesn't have Kedusha Shvius. Rabbi Yossi Omer, nosin impero shvius, l'tocha mishra, l'tocha kvusa. In other words, Rabbi Yossi is of the opinion that you're allowed to use this wine, which has Kedusha Shvius, as a detergent. What? So the Gemara asks, what are they arguing about? My time at the Rabbanon, what's the reason for the Rabbanon? Why did they say, the Tanakhama of HaMishnah, that you're not allowed to use this wine of Shvius as a detergent? Amar Kro, the Torah says, and I'll read the whole pasuk. Va'isa Shabbos Haaretz Lachem Li'Achla is Li'Achla V'Lo LeMishra Li'Achla V'Lo LeKvusa. The nitan of Peir Shvius is for Achila, not as a detergent.
So now,
if this nitan is automatically L'Achila, correct? So the question is, can you redirect it for something that's not achila and be mafkia the kedusha shvius? So that lechora says Rav Kahana is going to depend upon the machlokas here between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Omar Kra, lachem lechol tzarchechem, that the Torah expands the nitan of kedusha shvius to anything that you need. It doesn't have to be achila. Just give me a few minutes, Michael. I just want to get the whole picture. Correct? So let's just go through the drushes and then we'll come back to the kasha of Rav Kahana on Rav. So according to Rav Yossi, we're expanding the definition of nitan. The scope of nitan is not limited to achila, the way the Tanakhama would have it. And therefore you could be mekayim the nitan of shvius through what? Through mishra and kvusa. That's the pasuk lachem. For Rabbanon, what do they do with the word lachem? Nami haksiv lachem. Lachem is dumya d'achila. The Torah is saying it, use it in a way that's similar to achila. In other words, we're going beyond the scope, the limited scope and application of achila, but we're going to still be limited by achila. It's got to be similar to achila. B'mishana also ubirud shaveh. If you're using the Peirush Shvius in such a way that you enjoy the benefit of the Peirush Shvius simultaneous with its biur, which is the classical paradigm of achila, yatsu mishra ukvusa shana asam li achar biurim. In other words, immediately when he soaks the pishtan in this pool, we'll call it, or he puts the begad into the pool, at that point, the peros of shvius are really not giving him any benefit. The hana is going to come, Rashi points out, it's going to take 3 or 4 days after he puts the wine into this pool, until the pool absorbs the chemical detergent element of the yayin, and then he gets the hanas. So the kilkul yayin, which is called biur, is immediate, because once you put the wine into this pool that has all sorts of different things in it, it's already nifsal. You can no longer drink it. So that's called biur. But the hanah is going to come later on, after 3 or 4 days, when the yayin is somehow spreads throughout everything that's inside the pool and has its detergent impact. So therefore, don't ask me, say the Rabbanon, why did the Torah add the word lachem? The Torah added the word lachem to expand the definition of hana asan ubiram shaveh. And for example, in the case of Svichei Satim and Kotza, there, since he could use it for what? Just 1 second. He could use it for Adlaka, or take, for example, the case that we had of Ale Gefanim or Eitzim LeMishcha. In all those cases, if he can use it in a way that he has Hadassan Ubiyurad Shaveh, then there is a kiyum of Nitan through an expanded definition of Achila. But in the case of Yain Lekvusa LeMishra, that's not Hadassan Ubiyurad Shaveh, and therefore that's not Hana, which would be a kiyum of Nitan. So therefore, Lachem does not give me what Rabbi Yossi wants to get from the word lachem, namely that you can expand your nitan even to something that's not ana asan ubir and shaveh. So Rabbi Yossi, now yaksiv loy achla, how can Rabbi Yossi put all the emphasis on the word lachem, implying that you can expand the nitan endlessly in all directions? But what about the word liachla? I mean, the same pasuk, it says, V'haisa Shabbos ha'aretz lachem liachla. So it's got to be a lachem that's similar to liachla, and it's got to be hanasin ubir and shaveh. Amalacha, Rabbi Yossi would say, ahu mi boy leilich nisanya, I need this word liachla for a different halacha. Are you allowed to use Peirush Shvius as for some sort of medical help? Like you put it on as a salve on your injury. Nisanya liachla. The lowly melugma. Melugma is a kind of a refuah, like a bandage or something that you put around an open wound. And therefore the pasuk comes to tell you that in the case of Peirush Shvius, the nitan has to be liachla and not limeluga. Limelugma means you can't use Peirush of Shvius for medical purposes. And if that be the case, then let's talk about kvisa. It makes sense now that, just 1 second, if refua is excluded, just 1 second. Wait a second. So according to Rabbi Yossi, you're allowed to use perishvias likvisa. Correct, lekvusa or le mishra, but you're not allowed to use. So, what is the pasuk liachla coming to exclude melugma? Now, what's the logic over here? Why, if the Torah is excluding through liachla Melugma, well, why not exclude Lemishra or Lekvusa? Ata Omer Liachla Velola Melugma. Oh, Eino El Liachla Velola Kvusa. Why not use the word Liachla to exclude Kvusa? Kshu Omer Lachem Hare Kvusa Amur. When it says the word Lachem, the Torah is coming to include even Kibbutz. Hamani Mekayim Liachla. Yeah, but why did you structure it in that way? Umarois, what was the logic? Lerabos kfusa, you had the word lachem as a ribui to include kfusa. Ulahotzias amluga, and you had the word liachla to exclude malugma. Is marba anias akfusa sheshove bechol adam? Umotzi anias amalugma sheeno shove bechol adam. So let's try to understand what the Gemara means. Wait, just give me a minute. So the sugya that I think we have to analyze excuse me, is in Beitzah on Daf Zayin. The Gemara in Beitzah wants to know whether or not Hanoas Ochel Nefesh applies to the case of incense. What does it mean? Back in the day, what they used to do is they used to take certain foodstuffs and various kinds of herbs and so forth, and they used to burn it. I forgot for a second what the name of that is. Does anybody remember what it's called? If you have a Gemara Beitzah. Anyway, so the smell that came from the burning of it.
Mugmar?
What's Mugmar? Excellent. Thank you so much, Mitch. Mugmar. So the question is, am I allowed to burn a fire on Yontif for the sake of Mugmar? Because the Torah says, L'chol asher yi'ochel lachem, and this is not achila. Mugmar is something that gives you an aroma, a smell, it's an incense, but it's not an achila. So the Gemara says that when it says ochel nefesh, we apply the principle called mitoch. What does mitoch mean? That mitoch shehutra havara litzorch ochel nefesh, hutra nami shelo litzorch ochel nefesh. So for example, if let's say you're burning mugmar, even though you're not eating it, you're not eating the mugmar, but that's also called ochel nefesh. So the Gemara says, so what is ochel nefesh? So the Gemara says ochel nefesh is any hanas haguf that you get from the burning. So the Gemara says, is mugmar within the parameters of ochel nefesh? So it depends. Is it something that's shovel ochel nefesh? So the Gemara asks, what do you mean shovel ochel nefesh? Everybody, let's say for example, I don't know, how many people in this room have ever eaten venison? I ate it once in my life. I didn't pay the bill. It was very expensive. By the way, I didn't like it at all. But I guess you have to develop a taste for it. So that's called tzad tzvi v'shachto. So the Gemara wants to know, if you're telling me that mugmar is not considered ochel nefesh, because it's not shovel ochel nefesh, who can afford tzvi? So you're not allowed to shecht a tzvi on yontif? So the Gemara says, no, you're allowed to shecht a tzvi on yontif. Why? Because that's shovel ochel nefesh. Anybody could enjoy the meat of a tzvi. Could be you're not wealthy enough to afford it, but the hana itself inherently is shovel ochel nefesh. Oh. But mugmar, that's something that's not considered shovel chol nefesh, meaning unless you're in a very particular situation where you have a person, in Yiddish we say a feinschmecker, if you know what I mean, somebody who has a very keen sense of smell and he likes incense. I don't know, I personally, I never developed this, I don't enjoy incense. I don't know, do you enjoy incense?
No.
I guess you.
On Yom Kippur, the guy comes around.
Either some people do like incense, some people don't. Some people do like venison.
Right, so the Gemara says anybody could enjoy venison, Anybody can enjoy venison.
She said you didn't. So it's not
I didn't like it. Maybe the chef didn't cook it. But anyone can.
The inference is only for posh people.
Right. It's a question of financial. You know how financially your pocket, the high polloi can afford this, but anyone could theoretically enjoy it. I didn't think it was worth the $75 that he paid for a piece of venison meat. I thought it was a little tough. I like soft meat, but I didn't chas v'sholem regurgitate it. It wasn't that bad or something like that. But there are certain pleasures that the Gemara says are very specific, meaning only they're sort of situational. Now, why do I mention this to you? Because with regard to Shvius, as we said before, there's something called a nitan. Nitan means it's nitan for a certain hanah. So we said that hanah has to be, in order to qualify for a kiyum of Kedusha Shvius, it's got to be hanasanu bi'uram shav, that the hanah takes place immediately with the bi'ur of the Perish Shvius. That's true. But now the Gemara is adding another condition. Which hanah will qualify for Kedusha Shvius? It's only a hanah which is shavu l'chol nefesh. What do I mean by shavu l'chol nefesh? It's not situational. It's something that at any moment of time you can enjoy the benefit of. Again, you may not be hungry now, but if you were hungry, you would eat these peros and you would enjoy them. Oh, so the Gemara says the following, that when it comes to kibbutz, the Gemara calls it liachla. That's considered shaveh lechol adam. In other words, everyone has, they don't have to be in a certain particular situation to have a need for kibbutz. Kibbutz is something that we always need to do. In other words, by very nature, we wear clothing and they get soiled and they have to be subject to, they have to be laundered, right? So laundering clothing, the Gemara says, is called shavu l'chol nefesh. Everybody will need it, and that's what we do with habagod. But what about melugma? So the Gemara says about melugma, that melugma is eino shavu l'chol nefesh. Why? Because only in that situation where you're a chole, right? A chole is always considered a specific category of people. Like, for example, the Gemara in Sukkah establishes that who's chayev in Sukkah? Someone who's not a chole. But a chole is potter from Sukkah. And it would seem that a chole is potter from Sukkah even if he's able to sit in a Sukkah. But it doesn't matter. He's a chole. A chole is potter in a Sukkah. And there are other dinim. So in any event, chole is a category unto itself. And therefore, with regard to a chole, the Gemara says melugma is considered litzarche achole, but it's not called tzarche kol adam, and it's engendered by a chole in his particular circumstance. Therefore, says Rabbi Yossi, I am going to take the miut of liachla and exclude melugma. I'm going to take the ribui of lachem and include kibbutz. Again, you yourself might have said that kibbutz is not called anos nitan, because in the case of kibbutz, it's
simultaneous.
Yeah, it's not simultaneous. And in the case of kibbutz, you know, maybe my begotten right now don't need kibbutz, etc., etc. Comes along the Torah, and it expands the definition of hanah. So we're dropping the requirement of simultaneity of beer and hanah, but in its place, we're going to put the requirement of shavu l'chol adam, and we're going to assume that kibbutz is shavu l'chol adam. Okay, now, finally, we get down to the most challenging part of the sugya, and that is, let's get back to the klal of Rava, because again, all this was Rav Kahana's presentation about a brisa that records a machlokas between Rabbi Yossi and the Tanakhama, the Chachamim, with regard to Peros Shvius LeMishra. Rabbi Yossi holds that Mishra is a kiyum of Nitan with regard to Shvius, whereas the Chachamim say it's not. Fine. What does this have to do with Rava? Rava, if you recall, made a statement here at the very top of Kuf Beis Amud Aleph, Stam Eitzim Lehasaka Omdim. Correct? There's no Chalos Kedusha Shvius, even if he uses the mashchan etzim, which are very good and are designated for a torch to create a fire, right? Which would be hanos and birun shom, because most etzim are designated for what? For hasaka, for firewood, and there we have the delayed reaction. Oh, so is it possible now, says Rav Kahana, that this principle of Rava really depends upon the Machlokes, Rabbanon, and Rav Yossi? Right? What was the situation, the Mitzius, of that Machlokes? We're talking about Peros, right? We have grapes, for example, and they're Omdim Le'achila, meaning they're really designated for what we call Hana'osan Ubi'uram Shavet. Okay, but instead of cutting down these anovim, these grapes, for purpose of drinking the wine from these grapes, instead his intention was to use them for mishra and kvusa. And as we said before, mishra and kvusa is ein hana asan ubiru and shofa. So would there be a chalos kedushas Perosh Shvius on these fruits, which were now cut down and designated specifically for Mishra and Kvusa, which is Ein Hana Asan Ubir and Shava? Okay, so let's go through the Shitas here of Rabbanon and Rav Yossi. Certainly, we would describe these Peros the same way Rava describes the Eitzim, and Stam Eitzim La Soka Ein Omdim, and Stam Peros Le Achila hein omdim. Oh, so the chachamim of our brisa, meaning of Rav Kahana's brisa, they say that since you're telling me that if eitzim, even though lemashchan, right, are considered swallowed up by all eitzim, by stam eitzim, and they are omdim la soka, which is ein hanasan ubirin shava, and therefore they don't have kedusha shvius, even if when he cut down these trees, those oily trees, he wanted to use them for a light, right? For Hanasan of Yurin Shava, nevertheless, there's no chalos kedusha shvius. In other words, what we do is we go by the stoma, not by your intention. So therefore, it makes sense that according to the Chachamim, who say that what? That even if he cut this down for what purpose?
The Chachamim say goes according to your machshava, no?
No, I'm saying the Chachamim Rav Yossi who say lo lemishra v'lo lekvusa, which means even if his intention was at the time of Lakita to designate it for mishra and achila, mm-hmm, right? Nevertheless, it has kedusha shvius. So why do the Rabbanan insist that it has kedusha shvius if you determine that the mitan is for something that's ein hanaasan ubiurin shavat? You hear the question? I believe this is the key to Rav Kahana. I hope I'm not misleading you. I mean, we don't have that much time to think about it, but I'll think about it before the next year just to see if I made any mistake. But here are my two premises. Premise number one is the Rabbanan of Rav Yossi insist that even if you cut down these peros for the sake of Mishra and Kvusa, nevertheless there is Kedusha Shvius. So what determines Kedusha Shvius? Your intention was for something that's Ein Hana Asan Ubirun Shavah. Right, the kilkel ayayin is going to take place immediately when you put it in, but the cleaning process is going to take place much later, 3-4 days later. And yet it has kedusha shvius. It means that the determining factor is stamon. Stamon means that when we look at grapes that are growing on the vine, they're dedicated for achila. That is a reflection of and an application of the principle of Rava that stam eitzim lakof lehasaka in omdim, even though you cut it down for the purpose of Eitzei Mishcha, of Avuka, to light up the place, doesn't matter. It is completely Mufka from Kedusha Shvius, because Tam Eitzim, Lasoka Enomdim. But what about Rav Yossi? Rav Yossi says, you're allowed to be mashre the yayin in the kibbutz, because according to him, the likud of the peros litzarach mishra kvusa is such that there is no chalos kedusha shviyus. Not the way I told you that this is an expansion of the nitan, but rather, since we look at your specific intention when you cut down these fruits, namely for mishra kvusa, and that's ein hanaasin v'yurin shava, there is no chalos kedusha shviyus, and that's why you're allowed to use them for mishra and kvusa. Not the way I told you, Rabosai, that Rabbi Yossi is expanding the definition of nitan and the kiyum of kedusha shviyus. No, fakert. Rabbi Yossi is saying that there is no kedusha shviyus in the case of likvusa and liachila, because we determine kedusha shviyus by your specific kavana. Your specific kavana was to be malakit them for the purpose of what? Of mashcha, and therefore there's no kedusha shviyus. And if we turn around Rabbi Yossi in the opposite way, if you have eitzim de mashkan, if everything is determined by your specific kavana, and your specific kavana with these oily woods was l'shem avuka, which is hanasan ubiyurin shava, it would have kedusha shviyus against Rava's principle of stam eitzim, and therefore the whole issue of whether stam eitzim determines or your specific kavana is machlokas between Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim.